before I preach. Last summer I was the intern here, and then this summer I traveled for the Assurance Trio from Heartland Baptist Bible College as their sound man, and we traveled the northeast part of the country. It was me and four girls and two sponsors, a married couple and their children, and it was very interesting, to say the least. Traveling with the girls was a lot different than being on staff or as an intern with David. So I had to get used to that, spending my time in a vehicle for long hours with four girls. It was interesting because they always talked about like how much girls talk, but until they get in the car and then they sleep and you don't see them until food is offered. And then when food is offered, they all wake up and they're the first ones in and the last ones out. And then they go back and sleep until we are 5 minutes away from the church, and then the makeup and hairspray and perfume. And so I'm up there driving and coughing at the same time because it's like a chemistry lab with four different girls in the back getting ready. So it was interesting. And another interesting part about the summer was I didn't get to see my family until last week. And so I was really looking forward to coming home. And then when Megan and her family came, that was great because me and Brother Keith conspired to let us get engaged. And so that's what happened this summer. It was a lot different than being here and seeing familiar faces every single week, but I enjoyed it a lot and met a lot of pastors and learned a lot of things from different ministries. I'm just really thankful for y'all's prayers this summer. So if you would turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 12 to verse 21. And we're going to preach about the life of Paul. And during this particular time in Paul's ministry, he's in prison. And he's in prison for preaching the gospel. And he was captured by Nero, the Caesar of the Roman Empire. And Nero, he threw him in jail. And so this is where we're at in Philippians chapter 1. It's a prison epistle he writes to the church at Philippi. So if you would stand, we'll look at verse 12. And then I'll read verse 12 all the way to verse 21, and then y'all can be seated. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Thank you. You may be seated. So tonight I really want to focus on verses 20 and 21, especially verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The goal of our life as Christians should be that we magnify Christ, that every decision that we make, every action that we take, the decisions, the choices you make in your everyday life, they should be glorifying your Father and your Savior and should be magnifying Christ. And we see in this chapter, this portion of Scripture, we're looking at the life of Paul. And Paul, he's in prison for preaching and for spreading the gospel and planting churches. And the reason why he's in jail is because Nero declared himself God. He thought of himself as the Alpha and Omega. And in the Roman Empire, there was one supreme. There was one Caesar. It was Nero. And anything else, any other man that was served or worshipped, was blasphemy to Nero. And so he hunted out those and killed those people who would defy him, so to speak. And so we see in the Roman Empire at this time, they hunted Christians because Christians, they served the Lord and they spoke about another God, the one true God, and that's God the Father and Jesus Christ. And Nero, he despised Christians. He hated them. And it was said at that time that you could walk the streets of Rome at night, and the streets, they were lit by human torches of martyrs and of prisoners that Nero took captive. And so we see that Nero, he hates Christians. And on that same line, if you hate Christians, wouldn't you hate the most foremost preacher of the gospel at that time? And that would be Paul. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. He was a missionary. He started churches. We look in the Bible, he started multiple churches in Asia, Asia Minor, and most of the Roman Empire. And so Nero, he would know who Paul would be, and he hated him. And so he thought he could cut the snake's head off and capture Paul. He could end this Christian movement. And all throughout the book of Acts, it talks about the way. You'll see that phrase, the way. The way. The people were called the way. And that is referring to the Christian faith. They were known as the way. It's marking them as Christians. And they were hunted and killed and captured and martyred for their faith. So Paul, he's taken into prison and sent to Rome. And we see in this epistle, he's writing to the church at Philippi. And if you look at all the prison epistles, each one is written to those churches to encourage them to stay faithful and to continue to serve the Lord and to continue to preach Christ despite the opposition that they're facing while Paul's in jail. And each one is filled with hope, and it's filled with joy in Jesus Christ. And when Paul writes, he truly is writing from a perspective of, I am happy in the center of God's will, because he knew he was preaching the gospel. And so we see Nero, he takes him and he puts him in jail. And if you look at verse 12, he's writing to the church at Philippi, and no doubt that church was they were heartbroken and confused because their preacher, their missionary that they sent out, they were expecting him to come back. But he writes and he tells them that he can't come back, but he wishes to be with them shortly because he's in prison. And if you look at verse 12, he explains to them that everything that happened to Paul happened rather out unto the furtherance of the gospel. If you look at this verse, we can see that Paul knew it wasn't about himself. He didn't live life for Paul. He wasn't living to fulfill his will or his goals. He gave that all up when he got saved. After he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a murderer of Jews and of Christians. He hunted Christians just like Nero did. And then he got miraculously saved, and his life got turned around, and now Paul is serving a new master. Now he's serving Jesus Christ. And so after this salvation, after his life got changed, he realized his life wasn't about his desires or his wants or his goals or his comfort. Everything should be for the furtherance of the gospel, to give God glory with his life. And he's writing unto the church at Philippi, and he's telling them, look, I know I'm in jail, and I know that I can't come see you, but I hope to see you shortly. But I want you to understand something. Everything that's happening to me is for the furtherance of the gospel. And they could rest in that fact that the Lord was working this all out and God was getting glory, because everything that happened to Paul was for the furtherance of the gospel. And if you look, Paul is a great example of a man who gave God his life. He was a sold-out Christian. And if you look at this passage, it really displays something that I want to talk about tonight, and that's our will to give God glory with our life. His imprisonment had been for the purpose of spreading the gospel. And if you really think about that, his suffering was so the gospel could be spread, so that people could get saved. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. His bonds in Christ. So people knew why he was in jail. He was in jail for preaching the gospel. And the Bible, it's a literal book. So when it says something, it means exactly what it says. And so it says his bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Caesar hated Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated Paul. And so when the Bible says that Paul's bonds in Christ, when the furtherance of the gospel is taking place in all the palace where Caesar sleeps, Caesar, the same guy he put him in there for preaching, has to hear the same preaching every single day of his life. And then in all other places at the end of the verse, every single place, all other places. The Bible is really hard to understand, right? All other places. That means everywhere. So in all the Roman Empire, people heard about Jesus Christ. So I think you could say that pretty confidently, that Caesar's plan to to thwart the gospel or the preaching of Christ didn't work because God was, or Jesus Christ, he was preached in all the palace and in all other places. The word palace, it's the praetorium. It's where Caesar's men, his elite group of guards, that's where they stayed, and that's where Paul was in prison. And so Paul's in his prison cell in the middle of this barracks, if you will, and all these Roman soldiers are on shift work, getting attached to him and spending time with him because, if we look at different books, he was chained to a centurion 24/7. And I would hate to be that Roman centurion who had the mishap of being chained to Paul, because all he would hear all day was preaching and about his brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would probably not want to have that shift ever again. But no doubt when that Roman soldier would get orders to go somewhere else, because Caesar was all about expanding his empire, he would take the story of this preacher who got thrown in jail who wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ. And maybe that's one way that God used the furtherance of the gospel to take place through Paul's trial at this time. Look at verse 14. So we already know that verse 12, it says the furtherance of the gospel. So everything's happening for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, and the furtherance of the gospel is taking place in all the palace and in all other places. So look at verse 14. And many of the brethren, so other Christian men, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So we see in this verse, many of the brethren that Paul wrote to at the different churches that he started, they became more confident, they became more bold to preach the gospel. And again, this is defying everything that Caesar was trying to accomplish. But we see, if we look at verse 14, there's something you can learn from this, is that God can use your trials, God can use your suffering to cause other people to be more bold with their faith. If you look at verse 14, it says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So if you look at that verse, it says they were waxing confident, which means beforehand they weren't confident. And it says without fear at the end of the verse. So before they were filled with fear to speak of Jesus Christ or the gospel. But God is using Paul's life to make other men more bold and to make other Christians more bold to stand up for their faith and to preach the gospel. God can use your trials. He can use your suffering, the pain that you think you're going through. God can use that to help encourage other Christians to become more bold in their faith. We have to realize that sometimes what we may be going through, it's not about us. It might be to help out another brother or sister in Christ. And if you look at this portion of Scripture, you can see in Paul's life that because by the grace of God, he was surrendered to the Lord's will for his life, God was able to use his sufferings and his pain and his trials to make other Christians faithful, bold, and encourage other Christians to have faith in God. And if you're sitting in your comfortable home, working your job, and you know that Paul's in prison, but you see this testimony, it would encourage me to live for God, to see Paul still living for the Lord. Paul recognized it wasn't about him, and that's really key in this portion of Scripture. He knew that if God can use him, he was going to let God use him, even if it meant he had to go to jail for his faith, or even if he meant that he had to suffer, or get shipwrecked, or get whipped, or beaten, just like he was in other portions of Scripture. So when you surrender your life to the Lord, and you allow God to work his will in your life, yes, you may have great sufferings, and you may have great pain, and you may go through trials that you can't understand, and you're wondering why God is allowing this to happen. But know that God is in control, and that God, he has a plan, and it's ordained by him. And there's nothing that you go through that God can't use to help other brothers and sisters in Christ grow in their faith. Look at verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So these couple of verses, it's talking about how, okay, so verse 14, more men wax bold to preach the gospel. So we see that. That's verse 14. Verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 are talking about either whether they preached like they were supposed to preach out of love and preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ would preach. Other men preached out of contention, trying to add affliction to Paul, trying to smother the name of Christ, trying to drag Paul's name through the mud. But if you look at verse 18, Paul didn't care whether they preached like they were supposed to preach or whether they preaching their own agenda. All Paul cared about was that Christ was being preached. And he knew that if Christ was being preached, that his job was being done, that he was serving the Lord like he should have been, and that if the gospel was continuing to be preached, then Paul can still rejoice in the middle of a jail cell. He's still in jail when he's writing this. Paul understood. He really understood. He got a grasp on the fact that the Christian life is not about yourself. It's about serving Jesus Christ. And Paul understood this, and he lived this out. And we can do the same thing. Sometimes, I personally suffer from the same thing I'm about to say. I look at Scripture and see men and women and characters in the Bible, and I treat them like they're characters, like they're not men and women who actually live, like it's a story. But each one of these men and women in the Bible who suffered or went through great trials and had big things happen in their life, they were human just like me and just like you, and they had the same emotions, and they suffered pain, and they had family members too. And sometimes I kind of set them aside, and I think they're like superheroes. But Paul is a man just like you and me, and so we can live a life just like Paul. He's nothing special. He's not God. But it's by the grace of God that Paul was able to do this, to able to set aside his will. If you look at other portions of the Scripture, you look at Galatians 2:20 and Ephesians 6:18 and 19, it talks about how he's crucified with Christ. And then in Ephesians, he's talking about how he surrendered his life to Christ and that God would fill him with boldness. But when you crucify yourself and when you die to yourself daily and you surrender to the Lord's will, that's when God can use you. God cannot use you if you're trying to live your own agenda. If you're trying to do your own will and fulfill your own plans and have your own goals, if you're not following after God's will for your life, God can't use you. Look at verse 20. And this is the portion that I really want to focus on, because verses 20 and 21, it describes Paul's mindset going that allowed verses 12 through 19 to happen. It says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body," "whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And you see these verses, and like sometimes Scripture, we read over the verses, and we don't think about what it's actually saying. So I just want to stop and break down verses 20 and 21, and that's where I really want to focus tonight. And if you look at the first part of verse 20, you can see that Paul's not ashamed of the Lord or of the gospel. And that's pretty big, considering that the Romans would torture their prisoners trying to get them to recant and call Caesar God. And so he's in his prison cell, and he knows that torture is coming. He knows that pain and suffering is coming, or that death could even be coming. And he didn't know when his last breath would be. But he understood that he was going to do his best according to my earnest expectation and my hope. He's saying, by the grace of God, I shall be ashamed. He wanted to live a life that honored and magnified the Lord, and he wasn't going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And if you look back on Paul's life, like I said earlier, he was a murderer, he was a crooked man, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That's not something you want to be. You don't want to be a murderer of Christians. And then he got saved. But for all that Jesus Christ did in Paul's life, salvation, allowing him to be a preacher of the gospel, if you look in other portions of Scripture, Paul, he knew he wasn't he shouldn't have been an apostle. He didn't deem himself worthy, but God did. And God allowed him to be a preacher of the gospel. And it's by God's grace that he miraculously saved his life. And so for all that Jesus Christ did for Paul in the past, how can he turn his back on Christ now when he's suffering for living for Christ? It's an oxymoron. If you want to live for Christ, then you have to live for Christ even when it's hard. You can't just be a Christian when it's easy. You can't just serve the Lord when it's easy. You have to be a Christian, a true Christian, a true disciple of Christ, one who's willing to suffer, one who's willing to give away their interests and their goals, to die daily to yourself, as he said in another portion of Scripture. And so in nothing he was going to be ashamed, but that with all boldness. Boldness, it's not pride. Sometimes you see people and you look at them and they're just prideful and proud and they have a big head. And you don't want to be around those people. But boldness, it's a different thing. Boldness in Christ is just being able to talk to someone about Christ. And at this part, this part of Paul's life, he's in prison for preaching. And he's asking God for boldness to preach. And in Ephesians, if you turn back one page in your Bible, Ephesians 6:19-20 says, "And for me the utterance may be given, that I may open my mouth boldly to make it known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds," so in jail, "that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so Paul, he's asking for boldness to preach the gospel and to spread the gospel even in jail. He's devoted to Christ. His service was to give all the glory and all the honor to Jesus Christ with his life, even if that meant that he would continue to suffer in jail. Rather than being ashamed, he boldly magnified his Savior. And I say that, and just to think about how hard that must have been as a human to know that you might die the next time you say the name Jesus Christ. And in America, we're comfortable Christians, and we get to come to church, and we don't really suffer. Sometimes people think we're weird. People may call us names or whatever. We don't really suffer like the Christians and our forefathers did back then. But just put yourself in Paul's place for a moment. You're in prison for preaching, and you're asking God to help you to continue preaching the gospel. I just think it's an awesome testimony that Paul is giving at this portion of his life. But regardless of his circumstances, his main focus wasn't comfort. His main focus was glorifying God with his life. So that I shall not be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So we see this is what I really want to focus on. His mindset was that he was going to glorify God even if it meant death. If it meant death, he still was going to live for Christ. If it meant living, he still was going to live for Christ. Paul understood one thing. It should be our goal and desire as Christians that we magnify Christ with our life. Every decision that we make, every opportunity you can should be used to glorify God. So next time you think that, you know, you're suffering and you don't know why, or you're discouraged, because discouragement happens when you're suffering. You look at the Bible, you see Job. Everything was taken from Job, and no doubt Job was discouraged. His friends were discouraging to him. His wife was discouraging to him. But Job knew one thing. He knew that he can depend upon God, and God had a plan. And Paul, you see Paul, in this time, Paul understood that God had a plan for his life. If you look at verse 12, he says it. Everything that's happening is for the furtherance of the gospel. He's just a vessel that God is using to spread the gospel. And that's the same thing for you and for me. We're Christians. We should be like Christ. Little Christs. We should be the light, the salt of the earth. And all we are vessels to proclaim the gospel to the lost and to the dying world. And it should be our goal in our life that we magnify Christ with our life. And you see, Paul, it's his goal. It's what he desires. It's his expectation. He wants to magnify God with his life. He truly desires that God would get all the glory, and he was willing to die for that. He was willing to die for his faith. He was willing to be tortured. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to die. And that's the big part about this, is we have to be willing to set aside our will. We have to be willing to surrender. And in the Christian life, your biggest enemy is yourself. Your flesh. Because every single morning you want to wake up and serve yourself. The hardest part about being a Christian is we can't, or we shouldn't. We must also die daily. We must also ask God to allow us to live for Him, and that He can renew in us that spirit of our salvation, and that when we face each trials and when we face decisions each day, that each decision would be made to glorify God. And it's hard. It's very hard to set aside your own wills, your own goals, and your flesh. It's difficult, and Paul understood this. And Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was praying that God would take the cup, would take dying on the cross, and would, if there was any other way, that God would make it happen. But the Lord told him that he had to follow through with this, and so Christ had to surrender his will to the Lord and die on the cross. So even Jesus wasn't alienated from the same fact that he also had to surrender his will to the Lord. And as Christians, we must realize that we must do the same thing. We have to die to ourselves daily. It should be our goal that Christ be magnified, and not our wills and our plans and our goals. We shouldn't be living for ourselves. We should be living to give God all the glory and all the honor with our life. And if you look at the end of the verse, it says, "So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." So, what is he saying? It's really simple. Magnify Christ with your life, even if it means dying. Why? "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So if I live, I get to continue to serve Christ. But if I die, it's just gain because I'm going to heaven to be with Christ." So it's really a win-win for Paul. He understood that his life wasn't about him and that everything he's doing should be to give God honor and glory. And so if he dies, he's just going to be with God in heaven. But if he lives, he gets to serve God longer. So it's a win-win as Christians, and Paul understood that. And so when he's writing this, no doubt he's probably thinking about Stephen. Because Paul was the guy who held the coats of the men, the Pharisees who stoned Stephen. And just the spirit and the mindset that Stephen had when he was dying and getting stoned by Paul, it was by Paul that he died. I'd imagine that Paul was remembering how Stephen knew that it was for God's glory that he was getting martyred for the faith. And that his final words were asking God to forgive the men that were stoning him. And if you look at this part of Scripture, Paul is kind of in the same place. He's in prison and he could die any moment. And he realizes that it's for God's glory and that God can use this for the furtherance of the gospel, and that more men are waxing bold to preach, and that Paul, his life, it can make a difference. One person who's on fire for God can make a difference in a church or in your work or in your family when other people see you living for God. In a hard time in your life, when you're really suffering and when you're in pain, and when other people see you still serving the Lord, it speaks volumes about the God you serve. Because God is a God of grace and of love and of mercy, and if they see your faith, you're going to encourage someone else to be more bold and to be more faithful and to trust the Lord with their trials, just like we see in this passage of Scripture. I got to find this quote. I was in chapel and someone was preaching a similar message, and I can't remember. Okay, it's in the front. I can't remember where I wrote it down, but it has the same idea. A candle doesn't lose anything by lighting another candle. The first, okay, so you have candles and one's on fire and the other one's not, but the wick is there and and when you put that one candle's flame onto the other candle, the first candle doesn't lose the fire. It just transfers the fire to the other one. And so one Christian who's on fire for God can do the same thing to another Christian. So you're on fire for God. You're serving the Lord. And so you can just pass on that fire to another Christian. And then they can pass on their fire for the Lord to another Christian. And then it's like a chain reaction. But the candle, the first one who was on fire, it didn't lose any of the flame. It was still on fire. Paul, he was still on fire. He was still serving the Lord, but he was confined to a jail cell. But he's writing this book, this epistle to the church at Philippi, trying to get them on fire for God, trying to encourage them to live for God. And he says, look, it doesn't matter what happens to me. Everything that's happening is for the furtherance of the gospel, in verse 12. And then verse 18, I know that I'm suffering, but Christ is being preached, and so I'm going to rejoice. And then verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He understood that it wasn't about him. It was all about Jesus Christ. And then once he understood that, God was able to use him. And so Paul was magnifying the Lord with his life. And that's what he's trying to get the Philippians to understand. It's not about us. It's all about him. The goal of our lives as Christians should be that we magnify Christ. We must not be ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel or of our Savior. Because the moment you become ashamed of the gospel or Jesus Christ, then you lose the joy of your salvation. And then it's kind of like you're not living like you're supposed to. And if I can say this as nicely as possible, it's kind of hypocritical because Jesus Christ saved you from hell. And so the moment you turn your back on him and the moment you turn your back on what he's done for you, you're breaking his heart. And then you're not fulfilling his most sincere desire for your life, to bring God glory. And so once you decide to turn your back on Christ, he can't use you like he desires. And then at the same time, if you choose to live for him, then he can use you, and then you can make a difference. And I'm not sure if Paul exactly knew that we would be talking about him 2,000 years later, but God did. And God knew that he could use Paul's situation to bring him glory. But God, he gave us free will, and he didn't make us robots. So he allowed us to have free will, and because of that free will, he gives us a choice, whether or not we will actually serve him or whether we won't, whether we will bring him glory or if we'll just live for ourselves. And that's the beautiful thing about the Christian life, is the fact that we can choose to serve the Lord, and we can choose to bring him glory for all he's done for us. We can live for him. Everything we do as Christians should glorify and magnify Christ. Matthew Henry said, the great desire of every true Christian, so everyone that sincerely desires to be a disciple of Christ, the great desire of every true Christian is that Christ be magnified and that he be glorified. Those who truly desire that Christ be magnified desire that he may be magnified in their body. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove by your faith and actions, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you see Paul in a prison cell, suffering for his faith, but because he surrendered his life to Christ, because he gave himself as a living sacrifice, he was able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's the will that God is using to use him as the furtherance of the gospel in verse 12. That was the perfect will of God for Paul's life right now. And he's reminding people that, look, we must be crucified to ourselves and we must die daily. And we must surrender ourselves and be a living sacrifice. And we know all of these things that we're supposed to do. And the reason why we're supposed to surrender is because we're supposed to give God all the glory with our life. Present your body a living sacrifice and yield yourself to be used to glorify God with your life. You will be effective in your service to the Lord if he has your heart, or your goals, or your finances, or your will, or if he has your kids, or your plan, or your spouse. You'll be effective in your service to God if he has your everything. If you surrender yourself to God and allow him to have full control of your life, it's going to be a lot better than if you had control and if you were making all the decisions and if you were following your own will. I mean, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he knows everything, and he's designed your life and has a perfect plan for your life. And all you have to do is surrender to it. So surrender and present your body a living sacrifice right now. And choose today and tomorrow and the next day and 3 weeks from now that you're going to serve the Lord and that you're going to give God all the glory and all the honor with your life. In closing, I just want to talk about the effect that Paul is having and his testimony is having now. He wrote this book to the Philippian church, and then that church received the copy, and now we have it in our hands today. And it was God's plan all along that this should be recorded in Scripture. And so we are getting to learn what Paul learned because God saw it fit to give us this Bible and this Scripture. And so we can go and learn from the same thing that Paul got to learn from. So don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't be ashamed. Paul, he was suffering for his faith in a prison cell, but he wasn't ashamed because he knew it was all about God and not about him. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, and then be bold. Be bold with your faith. It's a difficult thing to do, especially when you're suffering for it, but it's the Lord's will that we be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So unless we're salty salt, or unless we're a light that's actually turned on, if we're not doing and living like we're supposed to, then as a group of people, as Pine Bluff Baptist Church, you can't reach the community if we're not salty salt or a light, a city that is set on a hill. If we hide it under a bushel, or if we don't live like we're supposed to, and if God's not getting the glory and we're living our life for ourselves, then we can't make a difference in our community. So don't be ashamed. And be bold. And magnify Christ. And magnifying Christ, it can come just by tithing like you're supposed to. And giving God all the glory He deserves with your finances. And then it could come by fulfilling the Great Commission and going out and telling people and coworkers and friends and family about Christ. Your sole aim and purpose for living should be that you glorify God with your life. And so as we wrap it up this evening, just want to encourage y'all to live for God and be bold. And if you look at verse 20 and 21, we'll finish by reading. We're going to reread verse 20 and 21. And when I read these two verses, I want y'all to put your name where it's talking about my. Where it says the word my or I or me, put your name in there and make it personal. So I'm going to read and you follow along, and I want y'all to make it personal. And this was Paul's prayer and his goal for his life. And it's the same thing for us. And so let's look at these two verses and let's make it personal. And by God's grace, let's decide tonight that we're going to live to serve the Lord and bring Him honor and glory with our life. And that we would magnify Christ. So look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I truly hope that that's your sincere desire for your life, just as it is for Paul. Let's pray.